Thank you for listening to the New Life Church podcast. If you need any information about our church, or if you'd like to give online, please visit us at newlifekingman.com.
Neither rain nor sleet nor, well, snow maybe, but anyway, you guys get extra credit tonight, so I want you to just kind of do this. Just pat yourself on the back. There you go. That's. I really appreciate your being here. It's much more inspiring teaching to people instead of just a chair. I've never found chairs being that inspiring to preach to, but or teach to. And so, you guys, it's encouraging. Glad you're here. So, Tammy's already heard this, but she reminded. I was in the office. She was answering phones and volunteering the other day, and reminded me of a joke that, and some of you this may be familiar, but anyhow, there's this guy, and he was just there walking along the beach there in Malibu, and this is before that happened, and so he said, it's a nice warm spring day. He's walking along the beach, and he finds a lamp has just washed up on the shore, and he reaches down, picks it up, and rubs that lamp, and whoosh, this genie comes out. And so he says, you're granted three wishes. And so he just kind of pops off, and he says, well, I'd like $1 million. And poof, there was a briefcase with $1 million in it. And so then he said, he got excited, and he says, well, I'd like a 7 Series BMW convertible. And poof, there it was. And so now he puts his the money in the trunk, and he gets in behind the car, and it's just, you know, beautiful spring day, and he's driving along Highway 1, Pacific Coast Highway 1, and the wind is blowing through his hair, and he's just feeling good. It feels the sun warming on him, but he's waiting on this third wish because he's thinking, man, I have just one wish left. And so he's kind of holding out. But as he's driving along, you know, he's just kind of wistful. And you know how these jingles kind of get in your mind. That's the way advertisers are. And so he got this jingle going through his mind. He starts humming to himself. And then he just kind of breaks out. Oh, I wish I were an Oscar Mayer wiener. It's real bad for that guy. It's a shame, isn't it? So, tonight we're starting lesson 2 on the Holy Spirit. This really is an exciting series for me to teach because I really like the Holy Spirit, and we like the Holy Spirit because He's God, huh? He is. The Holy Spirit isn't an impersonal force or simply the power of God. He's a person with feelings, and He can. We can make Him sad, He can be insulted, but He lives in us all the time. Tell yourself, all the time. Pastor and author Robert Morris said, as Christians, we have someone living within us who is God. He has the mind of God. He knows the will of God. He knows God's feelings. He resides within us because He wants to help us think the way God thinks. Desire what God desires, and feel what God feels. What a privilege. And it is a privilege, isn't it? In John chapter 14, verse 15 through 18, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. And so 4 times in 3 chapters in John 14, 15, and 16, Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as the helper. And we all know we need a lot of help. The word helper comes from the Greek word parakletos, which means called to one side. And that's what he is. He is called to our side. actually inside us. Other words that are associated with the helper are comforter, counselor, encourager, strengthener. And we know what the Holy Spirit is like from the way he is described by Jesus. He's our helper. He's our comforter, our encourager, teacher. He is the Spirit of truth. Now, I want you to say this with me. The Holy Spirit is my helper. Comforter, counselor, encourager, strengthener. And so I want to just encourage us all to remember that this is who lives inside us all the time. All the time. Tell yourself, all the time. This word, the comforter, that is used to describe the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit is good, he is kind, and he's sensitive, and that's why he's called the comforter. Years ago, and I'm talking, this is probably, gosh, now it's almost 40 years ago, it was in the mid-1980s, I was preaching in Belfast, Ireland, and it was right around this time of year, might have been a week or two earlier. Anyway, I'll tell you what, it was bitter cold that time of the year. It was just, and this cold, I grew up in the South, and we had cold winters, you know, where it would, but this damp cold in Ireland, you know, and then I preached at the same time up in Scotland, and I mean, that cold just kind of seeped right all the way into you, you know, it was that kind of cold, and bone chilling, and so I stayed at a bed and breakfast place in Belfast because during that time, the IRA was blowing up the hotels, you know, so didn't want to get blown up, so I stayed at a nice little bed and breakfast place, this lady that ran, owned the house, and she was just so great, great breakfast, but anyway, after the services, I would go to the room, crawl into bed, and she had this 3 to 4 inch thick down comforter on that bed. And when I would, because I would be so cold, and I'd crawl in under that comforter, and I can remember the sensation of this. I would start smiling because it was just so, it was just so warm and cozy, and it really felt like a bit of heaven. And I to this day, I remember that sensation of just wrapping up in that. And I remember I thanked God for the comfort of that comforter. And I didn't really at that time connect all the dots, but God really was giving me an illustration of who the person of the Holy Spirit is. He comforts. And God wants us to know what it's like to be wrapped up in him. Over the next several weeks, this week and the next several, we're going to focus on some of the specific areas that the Holy Spirit helps us in. And before I get into this, I want to mention something because there are many believers who are a little standoffish to the Holy Spirit and for various reasons. And some, it's because of prior bad teaching that they got. That may not have been biblical. And so they kind of, you know, shun things about the, you know, the Holy Spirit. And or some have had prior experiences with some of the people that said things that the Holy Spirit said, and it was just, they were weird. And so as we begin tonight, I want to emphasize something important, and that is, the Holy Spirit isn't weird. He is loving, he's good, he's kind, he's gentle. And we know this because of what Galatians 5 tells us the fruit of his Spirit is, of the Spirit. And it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. This describes the fruit or the effects of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So these are attributes or characteristics of the Holy Spirit, or in other words, they are what he is like. He is all of these things. He isn't weird. So I want you to remember that. He isn't weird. He's good, kind, gentle, all these things. And so the first area that we're going to look at tonight, where the Holy Spirit helps us, I believe is probably the most important. If not, it's real way up there. And if we took a poll of Christians and asked what is the most important area of help that the Holy Spirit provides, a lot of people would say, well, he gives us power, and you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And we're going to talk about that later. But some would say, well, he is our teacher, and all of these things are true and important. But the following is probably the most important, and this is good, because the Holy Spirit helps us love. Yes. The first and greatest commandment is to love. In Matthew 22, verse 35 through 40, Jesus said, or then one of them, a lawyer, asked him the question, testing him, saying, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." So Jesus said, if we get love right, we'll get everything else right. Amen. And this is why the Holy Spirit is so important to us, is because he helps us love. Now, I'm going to tell you something that you already know. We need a lot of help loving others. And thank God we have the helper living inside us, helping us love. In 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 9, it says, "But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another." In Romans 5 and verse 5, he says, "Now hope does not disappoint." Aren't you glad for that? Amen. God's hope doesn't disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Did you catch that? God's love is poured into us by the Holy Spirit. Now, the commandment of God for us to love is all-inclusive. That means it includes everybody. Yes. Jesus told us to love God, to love our neighbor, and then he got even more specific in Matthew 5, 43 and 44. He says, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies." I'm going to repeat that, because he said, "I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." Now, when Jesus said pray for them, he wasn't saying, God bless them with a brick. He wasn't saying that. He was saying, love them and bless them with good blessings. Now, for us to pull that off, it's going to take a miracle. It does take a miracle. There are those of us here tonight, maybe every one of us, who have had God come through in our lives in times past to help us to fulfill this, and we knew that it was an act of God that helped us to be able to love those that had hurt us, wounded us, or hurt and wounded somebody that was close to us. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of love. He is the Spirit of love. He pours love into us. So the problem is that we can make decisions not to like certain people. Don't like them. I don't like them. I don't like them. I can't stand them. And see, some of them, these people we make those decisions about, may be people that we live with. Don't look at anybody. Don't know. It may be somebody we work with. It may even be somebody we go to church with. Don't look at anybody. God wants to help us get over ourselves and love others. And some of it begins by us just deciding not to exclude others from what Tommy Barnett brought this out in a book years ago, Pastor Tommy Barnett, called it the circle, our circle of love, you know. And some people, you know what their circle of love is like? That. And so we need to enlarge our circle of love and include. And we can do that by asking the Holy Spirit to help us. So now this doesn't mean that we have to like the way other people act toward us or towards others, but we can make the choice to love them by praying for them, right? And even then, blessing them. God bless them. I had a guy that injured me some time ago, did something, and it really affected me. And it affected me in my emotions, but also affected me financially. And it was a pretty bad thing, grievous at that time. And I started praying for God to bless him. And you know what? God made him a millionaire. Seriously, he blessed him. Now, I don't want you to get inspired tonight and think, well, I'm going to get that guy and get him to pray blessing on me, you know. Don't do that. But we make decisions to bless them. We allow the Holy Spirit to have freedom in our hearts to pour in his love. He will teach us to love. Isn't that right? The Holy Spirit will pour God's love into our lives. And I need him to teach me and to pour more love in, don't you? Amen. So remember, the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, abides with us forever. He is always with us to help us to love. Now, this is a really big deal for the following reason. The Bible tells us faith works by love. In Galatians 5, verse 6, it says, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love." Did you catch that? Faith working through love. So we all know, and after we get saved, we are told we learn quickly the importance and the fundamental importance of faith. Hebrews 11, verse 6, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." And so we must have faith. We must release faith. We make decisions. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to believe God. Without faith, nothing else happens in our life. Everything. From the time that when we got saved, it was an act of faith. We asked Jesus to come live in our hearts, right? By faith, through grace. And so everything that we receive from God comes by faith. Isn't that right? As important as faith is, it is trumped by love. Love is more important, the most important. First Corinthians 13:13. "Three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love." Of the three lasting virtues, the greatest is love. If we have God's love, we have it all. Love is what makes everything else work in our lives, including faith. And so Galatians 5 tells us faith works by love. And so this is the importance of it. If our love isn't working right, our faith isn't going to work right either. And here is one of the biggest reasons why Satan attacks our love life and tries to get us out, moving out of love and into strife and all these things. Because if he can get us out of love, he can get us out of faith. And if love doesn't work, our faith won't work. So Satan tries to get us angry with people, doesn't he? Man, they just make me mad. And into strife and unforgiveness and bitterness, you know, where we just man, I just don't, you know, bitter toward others. And he wants us to be disappointed and discouraged by others to move us away from love. Because if he can mess up our love, he can mess up our faith, because faith works by love. And this is why it's so important to constantly forgive and not let bitterness hang on us. This is one of those tough things in our lives. Because some things, you know, some things are just easy to brush off, aren't they? Yeah. Just brush it off. Some things aren't so easy to brush off. They just like an arrow that penetrate and stick in our hearts. And gosh, those are the things where, you know what we need in those times, those things that are just not easy to brush off, but that get in and work on us, people that have injured us and hurt us. That's where we need a miracle. It really is. It is a miracle. And so that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. Aren't you glad for him? He's our helper. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8 says, "And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins." How many of you know that people will give us a multitude of reasons to get mad or irritated with them? Say multitude. But see, love makes a choice to cover over those offenses committed against us. And when we do, this our faith works a whole lot better when we make determination to love. No matter what, I refuse to let bitterness, unforgiveness, and strife to continue to work in my life. Amen. And it's a battle sometimes, because we, you know, there are those, and I get a little off of just a momentary bunny trail here. There are people that say, well, forgive and forget. Forgive and forget. I have forgiven a lot of people, but I have not been able to forget. You know that God is the only entity who can forget. Because he's God. He can choose to forget. He says he remembers our sins no more. And how do you do that? Well, you got to be God. Really, because I told you about the guy that I prayed that and began to pray blessing on to become a miracle. But I became a millionaire. I remember what he did. You want to hear about it? No. I'm not going to rehearse that. This is a bad joke. So we have to continually make decisions. And when the memory comes and the feeling comes back again, what do? We pray and say, God, I forgive them, choose, and I ask you to bring blessing on their life. Bless them real good. So love makes a choice to cover over offenses committed against us. And I teach this, and I understand while I'm teaching this that some of you may be thinking that's easier said than done. And I understand that. It is easy for me now to teach it and to say it. But I tell you, this is something that I've wrestled through in my life a couple of times. There's only a handful of people have hurt me and injured me so deeply that I have had to pray numerous times to remind myself that I have forgiven them. And I, to this day, sometimes when a feeling comes back, God, I forgive them. I'm not going to hold bitterness. It's important for us to continue and say, well, how do I know if I've even forgiven? By what you speak. By what you say, Jesus, I forgive them, and pray blessing on their lives. Right? Say, okay. Thank you. Ephesians 4, 26 and 27 says, and don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. The foothold anger gives is against the law of love. Ephesians 4, 29. Sorry, I didn't show that one, did I? On the screen. Ephesians 4, 29 through 32 says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Now, I want you guys to listen to this next several verses because they really are important. What is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Now listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, say clamor, that kind of thing. That's what clamor is. And evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted. Oops, sorry. Back on. No, did I get all that up on that one? Yep, I did. Never mind. Forget that. Okay. Note to self. You that are viewing online, God bless you. You just look and see what's there and try to jot down notes as I'm going if I forget to put it on the screen for you. Be kind. See, this is what it's saying. Be kind to one another. Tenderhearted. Forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. Last week I mentioned that the word grieve, we're talking about how the Holy Spirit has emotions and feelings, and we can grieve him. The word grieve means to make sorry or sad. These verses in Ephesians chapter 4 tell us that angry feelings that we have toward others or actions against others, and there was a whole list of them, bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, malice, all that, these are the things that sadden the Holy Spirit. How we treat others, what we do, the bitterness or anger and all that. And the reason they sadden him is because he is the one, the Holy Spirit is the one responsible to pour love in our hearts, and those feelings and actions are contrary to love. He is the Spirit of love. And when we are angry against others, we need to know we have a helper who helps. The Bible didn't just call him the helper just to give him a title. It's because it's who he is. Amen. He's the helper that helps. Tell yourself, he's the helper that helps. Now, all of us have had someone or someone's people do something to us or against us or against someone that we love and care for when at the time it wasn't just something to just get over it. You know, it wasn't an easy thing just to get over. Right? I'm going to ask a rhetorical question that I already know the answer to. Have you ever just wanted to stay mad at somebody? Don't look at somebody. Don't nudge anybody. Don't pinch someone. Yeah. But there have been times where we just kind of felt like, I have a right to be mad. We feel that, right? We can feel that. I mean, it can be strong, that feeling, huh? Yeah. Because it injured us so deeply. Or injure somebody we love, and that's when our anger can really, you know, because they hurt somebody. You hurt somebody I love, you're going to get hurt. And so that's the way we can think and feel. But we have to make a decision, And that is to love, don't we? And to forgive. Amen. So it doesn't, in those times where we've been injured so difficult, or so grievously, it doesn't really help for somebody to just tell us, just get over it. No. Right? That doesn't help. That just gives us somebody else to get mad at. Yes, get over that. Get over it. I'll tell you. I'll get over it. Yeah. So listen, we have a helper, a comforter, who will help us if we will allow him and give him access in our hearts. He already lives in us, but we open up and we say, God, I've got to have your Holy Spirit help me. I was thinking almost every time that I pray, God deals with me about some aspect of my relationship with others. Almost every time I'm praying. Sometimes it's to forgive people. I have had twice that I can remember where I was praying and the Holy Spirit reminded me of someone that I was holding something on, and it surprised me because I didn't even realize that I had been doing this. But he dealt with me. Two people I can think of right now that where the Holy Spirit talked to me about something that I had been kind of, and I hadn't been bad mouthing them or something. But when anybody would speak something good about them, I'd think in my mind, well, yeah, but you don't know. But I didn't say it, but I'd be thinking it. And this went on for years, this one guy in particular. And one morning, God said, you know what? You ought to forgive him. And I did. Amen. And then I had him some years later about somebody else and said, you know what? You've been holding something against this guy, and you need to forgive him. And I thought, well, okay. I mean, if God says forgive, we ought to forgive, right? Amen. But I have. It was a surprise to me at the time because I didn't really even realize that I was doing this. Sometimes God deals with me about forgiving people. Other times it's, the Holy Spirit deals with me just about encouraging somebody. Or sometimes it's simply how I need to appreciate someone. Like Cindy. Oftentimes, and when I'm in morning prayer, I think about Cindy and how much I pray blessing and how much I appreciate. That's the Holy Spirit. You know, he teaches us how to love, and he pours God's love into our hearts, and he will do this more and more as we give him opportunity. And this is why prayer is so important in our lives, because that, in our times of prayer, when we're between us and God, and especially by ourselves, we get alone with God, the Holy Spirit will give us inspiration. Sometimes it may be about forgiving someone. Other times it may be about how we can express love to others or something like, or bring an encouraging word to someone. So my purpose in this series is to let us know the Holy Spirit is a lot more active in our lives than we may realize. He's the one who drops things into our minds about caring for, loving, and helping others. The Spirit of love is at work in us. Amen. Right? Matt Sorger, some of you have heard of him, a preacher, along with several other pastor preachers who were close to Oral Roberts, met with him just months before Oral Roberts went on to be with Jesus. And Matt asked him, what was the secret to your anointing in those early days when so many miracles happened? And probably everybody here knows the history of Oral Roberts. He had these tent meetings where creative miracles, outstanding miracles happened, and people getting saved and all. And so he said, what was the secret in those early days just the miraculous unfolding like that? And I know a lot of us, and I probably would think, well, it would be faith and believing God, and that was obviously important. But Oral Roberts said that every time before he went out to preach, he prayed for God's love and compassion to fill him. Man, I get a rush saying that. Because, see, if God's love and compassion fills us, then what happens is miraculous. Miraculous. This is how faith works. Faith works by love. And the Holy Spirit helps us love. Okay. I want to talk here in the last part of this class about the Holy Spirit helping us by teaching us. He's our teacher. In John chapter 14, verse 26, Jesus said, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name," listen, "he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." Now, I want you to say this with me. The Holy Spirit is my teacher.
The Holy Spirit is my teacher.
Okay, the Holy Spirit is the one who reveals God's word to us. In John 14, 16 through and 17, Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth. So the Bible, probably all of us know, was written by men, but they were inspired by the Holy Spirit, who was known as the Spirit of truth, right? So when people say, that book, that Bible is just written by men. Yeah, it was. God used men to write it, but they were divinely inspired by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. In 2 Peter chapter 1, 20 and 21, it says, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." Okay? So the Holy Spirit was the inspiration. He's the one who inspired the Bible, and we can count on him to help us grow in our understanding of God's Word. And so this is something that continues throughout our Christian life. To this day, I am still learning the Word of God. There are things, and there are new things sometimes that I see in the Word that I have read through the Bible in the almost 50 years that I've been saved. I haven't made a count of how many times I've read through the Bible, but I probably, because of the way I do my devotions, go through the Bible at least once a year, at least. And so, and with other reading stuff. Anyway, I've been through it a lot. And so, but I'm still learning. I still am having him reveal, the Holy Spirit reveal things to me in the Word. And so this is it's important that we allow him to help us by teaching us. There are still things in the Bible that I don't quite understand. There are some things I don't know that I will understand this side of eternity. I might, but anybody with me, you've read something in the Bible and you go, "Well, I don't know. I don't get all of that." And so excuse me, when we have that, we ask and say, "Holy Spirit, help me." And so sometimes I get an inspiration and all that. Some things are still being uncovered and discovered. Wow, that's pretty cool. Uncovered and discovered. That's great. So, listen, it was the Holy Spirit who gave Jesus understanding of God's Word. Now, I know with some of us, we may listen to that and think, "Wow, what in the world are you talking about?" Because Jesus was God, right? So lots of people think that Jesus knew so much about the Word of God because he was God. I mean, it kind of just makes sense. And it's like, well, of course he understood the Word of God because he was the Word of God. John chapter 1 says, "In the beginning, the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And so Jesus was the Word of God. He always has existed. But when Jesus was born on earth, he became a man and subjected himself, listen, to all the limitations that we have as being human. And so my point is, this is that he depended on the Holy Spirit to reveal God's word to him. Remember when he was baptized, the Holy Spirit came down in the form like a dove and stayed upon him. John the Baptist bore witness of that. And it was the Holy Spirit that gave Jesus, the man, the God-man on earth, understanding. It isn't that he was, when he was born and as he grew up as a kid, he just had all revelation because he was God on earth. He was limited as a man. He limited himself as a man on the earth, dependent on the Holy Spirit. And when he was 12 and he was teaching in Jerusalem, he blew the minds of those that heard him because the Holy Spirit was giving him understanding. Later, when Jesus began his ministry and people were surprised, they were shocked because they said, you know, he's never, and I'm paraphrasing, but he's never been to Bible school, never been to Bible college. He's never had training, you know, in the Word. And yet he knew. And so what it was the Holy Spirit in him revealing the truth of God's word to and through him. Amen. So here's the point. This is another reason why it is so important for the Holy Spirit to come and to be active in our lives, because he wants to reveal God's word to us. And if we'll depend on him more and more, he'll reveal more and more to us. You and I have the same access to the same Holy Spirit as Jesus did. Amen. Say, I'm happy about that. Thank you. I'm glad you are. The Holy Spirit helps bring the application or relevance of God's word to our need. In other words, he helps God's word help us. The Holy Spirit helps God's word help us. When I was a brand new believer, I had gotten saved and I was in college in Flagstaff. I got saved the 1st of February, and I was in college. I was at spring break, flew back to Alabama to visit my parents. And so I had only been a believer for a couple of months, several months. I think it was, or a month. Anyway, not much time. Weeks I'd been a believer. And so I flew from Phoenix to Chicago, O'Hare, and then from there down to Alabama. So as I got into O'Hare Airport, and some of you remember this, this is going back, but always at O'Hare and the major airports or on streets in big city were the Hare Krishna folks. And they were, here they were, and the guys had their head shaved, little ponytails, and they were all, you know, they had little bangle things, and, you know, Hare, you know, going on all that. And so I walked by, and I walked up to one of those guys and started talking to him about Jesus. And so, again, I'm a brand new believer. I don't know a whole lot, but I'm telling him about what happened to me, giving him my testimony. And I said, you know, Jesus is the only way, because I heard that. You know, that's what they told me. And so this guy says, well, you know, all roads lead to heaven, and you know, he stumped me because I didn't know what scripture to quote back to him, you know. And so I said, well, no, that's not true. Jesus is the only way. See ya. And I went and got on the flight. And so, but I sat on that flight, and I was really bugged because I thought, you know, God, I need your word to help me out here, to explain. I know what I believe, but it really helps to, you know, have your word tell me what I believe and verify what I told this guy, you know. And so I opened up, I was praying in myself, I opened up a Christian book that I was reading, And on the page that I opened up to, quoted 1 Timothy 2, verse 5, and it says this, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." And I thought, thank you, Jesus. And I mean, that was so cool because here I am, brand new believer, didn't know it, and God just, boom, took the word and brought it right to me. That was the Holy Spirit helping me out, and he will help us out. I'm almost done here. Give me two more minutes. It's the Holy Spirit's job to help us take ownership of God's word. We need to know that the promises in God's word are ours. Amen. Not just somebody. They're not just for somebody else. They're for us. Tell yourself, God's word is for me. God's promises are for me. And the Holy Spirit will help us by reminding us promises from the word that we can stand on when we're going through difficulties. And I've had this happen in my life over and over again in my Christian life, where I've been sidetracked or discouraged or something happened, and have God bring his word to help me in that time of need. What that is the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it'll be opening up the word and the Holy Spirit just directing me. Sometimes it'll be a thought coming to our minds, a remembrance of a verse, like, "I will never leave you or forsake you," when we feel like we're all alone. Things like that, right? That's the Holy Spirit in us reminding us. Okay, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 19 through 13. We'll read this, and then we're going to one more verse after that, and then we'll pray. "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God." We need to know that the Holy Spirit will reveal God's will and purposes and promises to our lives. We depend on him, but don't we? "For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." This is a whole lot of thoughts in these portions of Scripture, but to narrow it down, the Holy Spirit helps us by teaching us and revealing things to us from God. There are a lot of times we may discount thoughts and ideas. You know, something as simple as when we're in prayer and we just feel, you know, God says, "I love you." And we just, "Oh, well, that's just my own mind thinking that." No, it isn't. If it is backed up by the word, why would we doubt that thought? It's God coming. And I have God tell me that quite a bit because that's what his word says. And he will open up promises and his purposes and encouragement to us. But we need to learn to listen and pay attention to those impressions in our mind and our heart. It's the Holy Spirit helping us. Say this with me. He's always here to help. All right, last verse again, John 14, verse 16. Jesus said, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever." Now tell yourself, forever. There you go. Let's pray. Well, I've gone a little longer than what I usually like to be wrapped up at 7:15. But, man, you guys took the effort to be here tonight on a rainy night, and I was just trying to let the rain dry up so you can... No, I just... got wordy. So anyway, let's pray tonight. I want you to pray this out with me. Thank you, Jesus, for sending the Holy Spirit, my helper. He is pouring your love into my heart. He is my teacher. He is helping me to understand and receive the promises from your word. He is always with me to help me. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, tonight I pray you seal these words in our heart. Thank you tonight for helping us to love. Thank you for being our teacher, Holy Spirit. And I pray that as we go from this place tonight, Lord, as we go home, as we crawl into bed tonight and wrap up in those covers and feel warmth, Lord, that we sense even beyond that the comfort and the strength and the warmth of the Holy Spirit. I pray that be everybody's portion here in this building and those that are viewing online. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Next week.
Thank you for listening to the New Life Kingman podcast. We can't wait to see you next week.